Hello and herzlich willkommen zum Auf die Fresse WXW Review Podcast in English. I'm Ian Hamilton, as always, joined by Mike Kilby. And Mike, it may be WrestleMania weekend, but we've got a little bit of business to deal with back in Frankfurt. Wheel of Wrestling 16 Karat Gold Revenge. But how are you doing? Been a busy week over Easter.
Yeah, it's been a busy week. I can't say it was been kind of a lot of stuff going on. But yeah, I thought in the midst of it, there was obviously quite a smart little WXW show, wasn't there? So.
Yes, this one, of course, from the Batch Cup in Frankfurt, sold out long beforehand, so nobody could have gotten away with doing a mystery card, but they revealed the card, I think, as we were recording, a couple of weeks ago. Well, usually they post after we've hit record and upload it, so it's nice to do it while we were recording. So, so this was a road. Why did I say road 16 carat gold? 16 carat gold revenge, the other end of 16 carat.
We are on the road to next year's 16 carat.
Yep, and I mean, there's a lot of people already got the tickets already for next year's show, which is quite a bit of forward planning. But go for the results from the card. So the pre-show, we had Alex Duke and Norman Harris, the big bucks, beating Mighty Vecchio and Igel Blanc. I don't want to call them Team Rev Pro unofficially after this past week. But what we didn't touch on the shotgun vlog, because we hadn't watched when it came out, Mike D kind of went, getting the wrong side of people because of his friendly five, for want of a better word. And same thing happened again here. It was clearing house at the end, accidentally hit Igel Blanc and ended up losing at the end. So I guess kind of like a banana peel finish, but big bucks getting up on paper, at least a pretty big win early days.
They're a new team, so they need to get a few wins under their belt in theory. They're kind of an interesting pairing. I think I like Alex Duke as a worker, and I think probably he can learn a lot from Harris. It's an interesting addition. They'll probably win the title soon anyway, but it's an interesting addition anyway.
Then on the main show, we opened with Oscar beating Shigehiro Irie. This one, the resultant surprised me. Irie's final week ending with the company, so maybe not so much, but. But bear in mind, Oscar went out, first round of Carrot. Really pretty much like a losing run over the weekend, all told. Irie, in the world title main event. So this is a pretty big win. Probably Oscar's biggest singles win. Obviously, New Japan, he's not winning that much. I would say probably his biggest win to date in WXW and maybe his whole career. But was this match never really kicked onto high gear. But again, Oscar's still very raw. I mean, seen people's feedback, Stan Fuse, his feedback from Karish and a bit delay. Pretty much all the feedback on Oscar's positive. I mean, I was going back through, 2 years ago when he was in his first run. It's night and day, and the guy's still filling out. So when he is complete, for a better term, it's going to be scary.
Yeah, as I say, I think we've already said, but he's got to be one of the most, he has the potential to be the best wrestler that Europe has ever produced. I genuinely think that. I think just simply because of the size, the talent he's got in such a short time. Because he's literally on third or fourth year of wrestling at this moment.
Because he would have been doing stuff in the Far Lake Dojo before COVID and then that run and work. So, real terms, if we take out the break everyone had.
Yeah. 3 to 4 years at most, and it's just he just has such a smart brain for just knowing what things to do when, and he's one of the best hot tags I think in sort of indie wrestling at the moment, him going over Irie here in a way isn't really a surprise because Irie is on a he's on a losing streak, and Oscar is really, he's just a rough diamond, and he's just got to always be going upwards and onwards.
We'll see if that goes. Obviously, we've done with WXW for now. See if he's back for Tag Festival. Up next was early today stuff. Rob Dreisker, Amboss, Lawrence, Roman, Icarus. Dreisker then telling Roman, "You're going to get your world title match of True Colors in Dresden." We'll follow up on that once you wrap up the shotgun stuff, because I completely got caught off guard and I feel really dumb for having been caught off guard. Don't know if you're in the same boat, but next we had the shotgun title, rotation getting this rematch against Levaniel. I thought this was fine, but again, you know, these kind of rematches were always the, I guess, almost like admin kind of stuff.
Obliged.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and I know some people hate the, you know, the WWE automatic rematch stuff. It almost feels like admin, you know, get the, you know, beat the guy twice, put him in your rear mirror, and you're done. That was kind of the thing with rotation here, you know. One thing I would say with Levaniel, and I know he's changed his nickname, if he's going to, you know, keep a kind of, you know, galactic stuff, but, you know, being a bad guy, that finish name needs to go. Like, I don't mind the move, the name just needs to be different, because to me, just right now, it just seems to be, I'm Levaniel, but a scrumpy.
I suppose, you know, but then he should almost say he is the same. He's just doing it for himself, I suppose.
True. I mean, again, it was that whole time where they were kind of, you know, workshopping the name for a while. What's the German name? I always preferred it, the Sternschnupper, which probably translates to the same thing. But for a while, the German commentary was using that thing. They just, you know, anglicized everything. You know, again, it was a decent match, but again, this just seemed to be Lord Levaniel putting rotation in the back, and, you know, future chances are coming up. And I guess, yeah, move on to Ilya Bloom against Yoichi. This was the third of the three matches, single matches we had. Yoichi winning it back to the roots, Bloom winning the Road 16 Karat Gold qualifier final in Bielefeld. This was the third one. Didn't think this was quite up there with the other matches. You know, I'm not saying, you know, Bloom was, you know, maybe gun shy coming off the concussion, but I think this was, you know, a good match, but I think I preferred the maybe second or the third of the three in my mind. Maybe it's because Back to Roots was, you know, catching everyone by surprise, whereas this one, you know, people had higher expectations. But yeah, Bloom and Yoichi, I mean, this is Yoichi's final match in Bristol. It's been a pretty decent run. But I mean, this is a feud I'd like to see him keep coming back to, even if it's just like, you know, callbacks, you know, future carrots or shot, or even like shortcut for tops, you know, we're both in together. Again, this all depends on if Yoichi's brought back to pro wrestling no sooner rather than later, but nice little run from here.
Yeah, I thought this was good. I think it was probably, there was one earlier on in the year which I thought was a lot better. I can't remember the exact location, probably a Bielefeld one. I thought that was good, but yeah, this it was a good sort of fun match, really. As I say, I think it's Bloom. I think he still does need his hand held a little bit through some of these matches. He's not quite. I feel like he's maybe lost a step in the last sort of 2 or 3 months. But yeah, I think this is the sort of thing you can probably go back to, because he has sort of said, you know, we've got unfinished business, and, you know, need to, you know, they're almost destined to do it forever, aren't they? These two, in a way.
Maybe Roscoe going to be in a few years. We don't send about Roscoe going to be in a few years in. No, I'm looking back in his cage match, and Bloom only made his debut December 2021.
Yeah, he's back. He's so, less than Oscar, isn't he?
Yeah. So, you know, really, you were looking at, you know, Scott, I remember it was in one of the Academy shows. Was it Strigger was posting the live tweet this back when it was in Essen, and it was, you know, more like, well, how do you say, you know, spell his name, because it was one of these, you know, is it Leah Bloom with an H in the middle of Bloom? Well, and, like, it's all over. But
I first heard the name because Bryce could do an interview with one of the British podcasts. Couldn't tell you who it was.
Well, might have been Team Tights, I remember.
No, it wasn't them. It wasn't them. It was another one. It was. I remember someone did it. He did an interview, and they were sort of said, like, you know, who are the ones to look out for? And he said, you know, the two ones to look out for are Oshi and Ilya Bloom. And he said, you know, they've got the potential to go to the top. And obviously, I went Ilya Bloom. I was like, okay, it's Ilya, like Ilya Dragunov.
yeah,
but it's obviously not.
Ali was in Elijah, of course it is.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, there's a lot of potential there. It's like anything, it's hard to go hard on a lot of these people, because a lot of these wrestlers are quite not inexperienced, but, well, actually, in a way, yes, they are quite inexperienced, aren't they?
I mean, this in his third year, so not quite the sophomore stuff, but yeah, I mean, you know, some of these names, because we are watching every show they put out. It's the whole getting no can't see wood for the trees kind of stuff.
There's people who wrestled for twice as long who work in, I'm going to use a comparable promotion, RevPro, and I think you can compare the two. And there's people who have worked twice, potentially three times as long as Ilya Bloom, who are nowhere near as good as he is.
I'm not going to name names, but no. People who can fall into that bucket that I can easily. Yeah,
and like I don't feel there's people who are 2 to 3 year level wrestlers, 2 to 3 year experience wrestlers who are working at that level in England. And I can't think of anybody really at all.
Not
off the top of my head, anyway. But not to say that doesn't exist. Maybe Leon, but then I think he was possibly been around for longer than that. I think Leon Slater is probably the only, because he's been, I think, barring a brief bit just before the pandemic, he's basically been wrestling for four years at most, really, isn't it? So obviously he's a good person. He's an interesting person to compare Ilya Bloom to, but yeah, he's the only person I can think of, really.
I mean, in terms of like the, I'm trying to pick my words here carefully. As far as like the bigger name promotions, like I know Leon is working for the likes of UKW, like way pre-pandemic. I know there's a breed like for those kind of level shows.
Yeah.
He was doing stuff way back when, but yeah, definitely in terms of, I'm going to use massive air quotes, main roster stuff. Yeah, I would say definitely comparable, but one, like I say, one's being pushed. I don't even say it's almost like an arms race. Like, Leon was being pushed by RevPro and Progress, who could get the highest quicker, and now obviously he's with TNA. Yeah, definitely with Aaliyah, it's definitely been a case of slow and steady, because what they don't want to do, and we've seen this countless times, is hot new star, push him to the moon, and then, oh crap, we've done everything we can with him, and then he's resented and he's...
Dare I say they did that with Levaniel?
Well, I think with Levaniel may well have been pushed into a corner, but yeah, that's probably quite a good proxy there. But so we'll see how Aaliyah goes. I mean, the promo stuff he did, Shotgun Blog, mentioned the injury, and he's next up for Levaniel in the Shotgun title stuff in The True Colors later this month. So we'll have to see whether that's going to be another loss, or whether they keep pushing Levaniel. It's definitely an interesting match to make, especially given where both men are. Next up, we had a non-title tag match. Ambos, Ikris and Robert Dreisker taking on Dennis Dolanik and Hector Invictus. I don't really know what to make of this one. Like, a lot of the match, we tried the whole, Ambos weren't seeing eye try, and we had, Ikris and Dreisker flat out arguing, and then it became just a, oh, ha-ha, we got you kind of stuff. But this almost seemed to be a win to, kind of get them to set up for, talk about late. But to me, it just seemed weird that, as a mid-card match, you have the tag champions losing. Like, to me, I think if this hadn't been Frankfurt, this probably would have been the main event, just because of where it was standing in the, in terms of storylines.
Yeah, I think it was, it was the half main, wasn't it? I presume they would have probably done a break. But yeah, I do agree with you that, and I think, like, the one that did get the main event, unfortunately, exists in the bubble of Frankfurt. Really, I thought this was all right, but it was, and unlike the fake teased turn from Ikaris, that was quite good within this match. But obviously, it was a fake thing and something they were sort of leaning towards. Ambos had completely done it halfway through the show, but I was kind of like, well, they're a weird thing to be doing halfway through a show that...
Yeah, you probably do the split in the main event somewhere, and maybe not even in Frankfurt.
Yeah. It would be weird to do it halfway through a show that, a percentage, a fraction of the people would be watching compared to maybe the other events. So, but yeah, I thought this was a decent one. I would say it was just a bit of a strange place to put it.
Then we had the announcement for the interval of WXW is going back to Frankfurt July 20th. Not a surprise, but they're crowning a European championship. The Wrestling European Meisterschaft, I'm probably going to butcher that, so I'm just going to cover the Wrestling EM. They haven't announced what this is going to be, other than a tournament to crown a European champion. I know we've got this in the newspaper, but it's been mentioned here. No, there's been some speculation it's going to be European rounds, which not too keen on. Another belt? No, they did away with women's title, so no, it's another belt. You're not locking up. It's all going to be intergender, for want of a better word. You're not going to be locking up. I'll say Jane Neal on the shotgun title, or Stephanie Mays on the world title, stuff like that. So, another belt's not too bad. It's just a case of how do they do it. But if it's all going to be European rules, it's going to be. But I can see that being almost like the old shotgun lottery gimmick. It'll be fine for a while, but it's going to get old.
Yeah, I would hope it's not. I hope it's not the round system, but if it is, then okay, fair enough. As long as it sticks within the ecosystem of just that purely that title, that's fine. It's a bit of an often repeated thing, but there's a reason why the round system has died. It's had its time, and I don't think, as much as there's possibly a little bit of nostalgia for it amongst, especially in obviously European wrestling, there's a big nostalgia for it. I don't think it's something which is, there's any real, outside of being a sort of novelty every now and again, I don't feel there's a real thirst for it. I don't feel there's anybody who's saying, oh, I want a round system company or round system title anywhere soon. I don't see anybody shouting for that. So I don't really, if it is that, then I'll be a bit disappointed. But, I think we'll just have to wait and see on this, because it's a bit thin on the ground on.
I know we had, what was it? The NXT one. NXT UK.
Yeah, the Heritage Cup,
And that got pushed over to full fat NXT, which I guess fine, but it's the kind of thing where it's only on every third or fourth show. But yeah, I would say, of course, I know there's some speculation on the day that it was that. Since then, WXW hasn't really said much other than it's a European title, so we'll see if they're workshopping that. But yeah, another belt, and we'll see, how it's built, how it's portrayed, and where it stands in the great scheme of things. Because
I suppose the issue is, how do you differentiate it from the shotgun belt? And I suppose that is 15, the way you do it.
Well, shotgun belt's 15-minute time limit, so I guess by that, you've got that differentiated. But also, I'm looking at times on this show. There's only two matches going off 15. So
it's a 15-minute time limit show, but surely if it's going to a rounds-based, if the European belt goes to a rounds-based system, then surely that will have a time limit as well?
It's like what we did with Cash Grand Prix, yeah, and be a case of, you think, how's that going to portray? Because they never really toured with the round stuff. First Cash Grand Prix was the close set stuff, then they did it on the Oberhausen, that's not well received Cash Grand Prix show that ended up being completely reformatted. So yeah, I think if they do this, I could see it being maybe like a short term gimmick, or maybe first person who wins it demands one of those rules and then the beat, and then it's put up in history. Again, we'll see what they announce, and we've got 3 months between now and that show. Heck, we don't even have names for tournaments, so yeah, it's just very much unbelt. But moving on from the interval, we had KXS, of course, Axel Tisch and Fast Time Moodle against Bobby Guns and Stephanie Mays. This one I kind of enjoyed, in terms of, obviously, it's another new tag team, so of course KXS are going to be getting the wins. One of them wasn't too keen on the end. So throughout the whole match, we had Moodle not being, gun-shy. He wasn't too keen tagging in there with Steph. And then the end, it's almost like the whole cycle, a switch flips, I choke you out for the stoppage, and then laughing it off. It's like, until the whole, I'm laughing it off, I'm crazy, me. That, I kind of got that until the whole, look, I'm crazy. It's almost like, dare I say, Poundland Gabe Kidd stuff for people who don't like that.
Yeah. Gabe Kidd's not far off Poundland, anyway.
Well, you saying that for me. But, this match probably was fine. And again, we are having to establish the tag team, Mason Guns, but not a regular tag team. I would strongly I would not be surprised if one or both of Maze and Guns win the European title tournament. And you know, the stuff coming out of this, we'll talk about my shotgun vlog that's going to keep this going. But yeah, it's a decent tag match. But yeah, I think with I've got a feeling this is going to be another one where, you know, Maze and Mudo and Tisha's going to be getting, you know, tag titles at some point. But as we said, when KXS first formed, Mudo's still a number two in the team. And this is, you know, far more distant number two. So a lot of work to do to, you know, even try and pump to Axeman's level. But we're going to try.
I suppose the thing is you kind of always... You have him as the number two in this team, but, like, he's kind of, like, justified, like, oh, look at my tough mate, you know? And I feel like that sort of dynamic does work. Because he can sort of...
The carrot vlog. No, it was him being the all... Well, you were busy with Carrot, and then, of course, Maze doing the whole, well, it's not my fault now if you qualified, and the two of them looking like, how dare you speak back to us, kind of thing. But I kind of get that vibe, but again, it's the whole thing of you've got to watch the vlogs and this, so, you know, kind of want to see a bit more of that pull through the matches. Because it can work. I think it's just a case of getting these, you know, the kind of chemistry seeing in the vlogs and getting that in front of a live crowd.
Yeah, I think. I think there's legs in it, I think, for sure. But as I say, I think it's still early days with this. I'm not sure if I'm convinced or not, to be honest.
Yeah. Next up, I had a rematch of the Carrot Final, Peach Tahani and Lawrence Roman. Of course, this being Frankfurt and not Oberhausen, no, you didn't have the same crowd backing. So Roman, I was thinking, we thought it was maybe teasing a double turn, or what, not clean off the case yet. Frankfurt not entirely behind Lawrence. Yeah, I think this was, I don't think it was anywhere close to the match we had a Carrot just because of the crowd and you didn't have the investment on it. No, I'm not saying it was a bad match, but I think it was one of these, again, the contractually obligated rematch. But I think the interesting one here is because you had Roman win again rather than, you know, Tahani win over 1-1. You know,
yeah, because then you do the third one. Yeah.
That's kind of telling me Tahani is maybe spinning off to something else, no long term, and not see where that goes. But yeah, on paper, if you watch the show to this point, you'd think, well, that's a big win for Laurie, and he's got his world title match in his hometown next month. Yeah, but yeah, a decent match. Again, fact, semi-main event. You know, we thought the Ambos tag would be main event anywhere else. This probably would be a main event anywhere else. What was main event? Yeah, High Prom Limited, Joseph Fenwick Jr. and Tristan Archer against Ahu and Aaron Insane. Of course, probably would have been a trios match had it been I just realized completely screwed up the names and review. For some reason I put Archer and Anil Marik in. It's obviously Fennec and Archer. But yeah, it's one of these where, again, you know, High Form Limited had been on a losing streak. Who's just come back? Aaron Insane's just come back. It's in Frankfurt. Gee, I wonder who's going to win. I certainly didn't need 22 minutes of this though.
No. Yeah, it didn't need to be 20 minutes long. I remember I was watching this and I was on the, I actually watched this one on a train and I thought I was going to have to like pause it when and get off the train. Like it was that was how long it was running. I think Uhura looked good. He hasn't sort of missed a step, really. He hasn't sort of lost a step. He's still kind of the I think, like we've always said, the ceiling's very high for Uhura, but the basement can be very low. But yeah, I thought he looked pretty decent in here. I thought Archer and Fennec was probably the most interesting of the pairings I've seen from High Performer Limited. I think it seemed to work best, and we'll go on to the shotgun log in a minute, but obviously they've sort of teased that might spin off. We don't know. Aaron Insane, I'm not sure. I don't think he sort of said in the shotgun blog afterwards that he wants to go for the world championship, and I'm like, yeah, all right. He did say that, didn't he? Or did I dream it?
If he's going for some gold, and I think
I think he said WWE championship. So I don't know, maybe. If we end up with a Robert Dreisker versus Aaron Insane main event at the next Frankfurt show, I'm not sure that's going to go over.
Was it Fight Back literally just ran that?
Yeah, they did. You're right. They did. Because they built to that show.
Last Frankfurt show built, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if Aaron Insane is maybe the promoter then for the local Frankfurt shows.
It would not surprise me.
I don't know.
Sebastian, don't get any ideas for Bielefeld.
I'd take Holnickel versus Dreisker in the main event, for sure.
I'm pretty sure Sebastian wouldn't want that though, but one thing I would say, and
this, he'd give a good go.
Who have a whole match of not in his gear? He looked like this is going to date age me horribly. He looked like he's going to deliver some milk tray.
It's a little bit before me, actually, as well, to be honest. But I know the reference. Yeah,
the blackened headstones. Like, I don't know where this was. Like, I mean, again, we're going to move on to the shocking vlog. So, first we opened for Hura after we did the recaps. Pretty much him saying, "Yeah, I'm not going to be around as much as you expect me to be."
Well, we didn't expect you to be here at all. Three weeks ago.
But at the same point, I do wonder how much of this, because Maggot, he's on the shelf. Doesn't need surgery, but apart from a few months, clearly this was Maggot. You'd expect it meant to be him and Maggot, and then we're just tailed off into Maggot doing whatever, but we'll see what comes from there. The other thing that was teased on whose part was a matter of Matt Cardona, the Drive of Champions, which, considering Cardona, if the character announcement was all about, I'm coming for your belts. Last time I checked, who didn't have any belts, so I don't know if this is like a reformatting what they want to do now with what they've got or what, but yeah, that to me, maybe not much I would have given Matt Cardona.
Yeah, I don't know what I would have given him though, to be honest.
True.
Maybe put the shotgun belt on someone a bit more amicable, I don't know. It's a bit of an odd one, really. Because the thing is, I feel like Cardona will get the cheers as well. I feel like, yeah, I don't know about that one. Is that before or after the European Meisterschaft?
Before. Drive Champions is June 1st and the European is July 20.
Oh, okay, yeah, well, there we go. There goes my theory.
Unless we do a Cardona the shotgun belt in the US like we did with Ava Everett, and the European belt is strictly in Europe and cannot leave the continent.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. It would be an odd one. I think maybe just that they'll find something, because they've already sold. There will be tickets that will be sold on the back of Cardona. It doesn't really matter what he is doing, to be honest.
Oh, of course. Next up, we had Baby Allison, because she's still part of High Form Limits, although in that main event, walked out on them. She's very not sure about what happened with Maggot. I still think it's way too early to be even thinking of splitting anybody from the group. Okay, had Griff McCoy fight, but I was like, the whole was it Aaron Rourke and the White Who Cutes the Tag Festival? Clearly in the weekend and out afterwards, but yeah, to me, still way too early to be doing anything like that. Elsewhere, High Form Limited, the French lads are threatening an uprising. Anil Marek doesn't speak French, so Tristan Archer and Joseph Fenwick Jr., what they're saying, he just goes over his head. I could see them eventually splitting out, but you literally just turned Fenwick at Tag Festival, not officially Tag Festival. So again, maybe a bit too soon for that, unless these are all seeds being sown for later this year. Lawrence Roman finally shook hands with Paige Tahani, and then the big swerve. The match at True Colors was going to be for the world title with Robert Dreisker as a tag team partner, because we're going for the world tag team titles again.
Yeah, and the Laurie was like, pardon?
Yeah, I mean, and I was talking with Strigger about this on Twitch last week. And I kind of, this, I don't know if this is a plan or whether me same as this, taking this out for plans. If you keep Laurie for Carrot title shot and you have, say, Shortcut to the Top won by Icarus, that's an obvious, Tag Festival main event. Ambos for Ambos for Ambos, but I also don't know how much of a crowd be invested in, just in terms of you've got two turning on Dreisker, I mean, not my ideal strike, we'd want one, but yeah, I really don't know how I would work, how I would go down, especially involved, the traveling stuff and the build up stuff and the lead up to it if they do go down the road. But definitely a lot more seeds of dissension being sown. Especially, certainly in the show, Lawrence from being accused of, you've changed since you won Carrot. You need to prove you're one of my guys. So is that what they do? They win the belts back, and then it's the warring tag partners. Not the whole can they coexist, but the tensions in between. Oh, I want my title. Oh, we've got to defend these, and these take priority and all that. So
yeah,
we'll see how we go. But clearly, we're absolutely not paying these off straight away, which, again, in hindsight, probably should have noticed where we weren't going to be burning with Carrot title shot in 6 weeks.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, and I think we were very unlucky where we had obviously a very very good slow burn faction collapses story, about 6 or 7 years ago with the Rise stuff. We had a very very slow burn, and unfortunately that one was cut short for various reasons, which remain a mystery to this day. And I think they kind of need to just get this. They shouldn't be rushing this at all. And I feel like, these three are less likely to do something stupid like has been alleged for the people that were kicked out of the storyline then. I 6 weeks, I say 6 weeks, is it 6 weeks between Carrot and Dresden? You said?
Carrot was start of March, Dresden 27th, so 6-7 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it makes sense. And as much as Dresden is a big important town, it's still a B town for WXW. It is a very strong B town, but it's not Oberhausen, it's not Hamburg. There's a lot to I think there's probably a lot more value in that match if they ever do it, which hopefully they will do. If they do it, it needs to be done in Oberhausen, surely.
Yeah. But again, I think long term up may be an issue of, probably can go back and check, but in terms of like the title changes, just going back through the world title at least. Tristan Archer winning in Vio in 2022, beating Jörn Simmons, Jörn in Frankfurt. But largely speaking, a lot of the majority of the world title changes have been in Oberhausen. And granted, that's the town everyone associates with WXW, but it is the kind of thing where you probably do want to be looking at doing a title change.
Well, Dresden got the Tisha win recently. When Tisha got his return, he got the title win there, didn't he?
Let me look. Unified world title. So I'm going back.
Sure,
so I'm going back to. So I'm going first order. So Dreis Cross won in Oberhausen. Irie won in Oberhausen. Levaniel won in Oberhausen. Tristan Archer won in Via. Jörn won in Frankfurt. Archer won at in Oberhausen again. At Axman, October 2021 in Dresden.
Yeah. So he did get it.
True close was what? Two and a half year back. So yeah. So you're getting, but I think it's one of these people largely go, oh, it's on the Oberhausen, which makes sense, but at the same point, I'm not saying do a random title change in Papenburg, but Papenburg, I think it's one reason you've got to be very careful of not doing all the big stuff in Oberhausen, because eventually people latch on. It's like with WWE house show stuff. You don't want to be doing stuff for the sake of doing it. But at the same time, you also need to be careful you're not pigeonholing Oberhausen is the only place to be.
Yeah, of course. No, I agree with that. Yeah. In fairness, they are changing the titles elsewhere, because obviously Bielefeld's getting the title changes. Dresden has had a few. There is value in the other shows, I think.
Yeah. Elsewhere in the vlog, we had Mike D get himself a tag title shot. So him and Nick Schreier, of all people, against Cash and Hector, with the comedy being Dennis Dunlop being annoyed at Hector for making a title match about consulting him. Bobby Guns challenged Mudo to a battle without honour or humanity, And if I didn't want a copyright strike, I'll certainly be playing the Kill Bill music. It's basically Ambition but Wild Ropes. That'll be in Leipzig late this month. And then other stuff, Lavaniel building up really a Bloom match, Aigle Blanc. I want to be the first European champion. You're going to get a few more, so I'd guess before Frankfurt. But yeah, pretty decent show and stuff coming out of it. Definitely setting up a lot. Getting two shows this month, Leipzig and, of course, Dresden. So plenty to talk about for us next month. But I'm going to bring back an old favourite, Mike, because we're trying to get a few people travelling again. So we've got Tempesta, of course, former Vinnie the Beast. He's back in Big Japan. Returned there last month. He's now starting to work with Alpha Mask. So that's, I guess, the new
thing. He did take it off just before Christmas, yeah.
But it looks like he's done for Project Havoc Group, at least going by his tweets. Based on things that tweet a couple of days back, with Bobby Gunn's my only tag partner. He has lost his first few matches back. Most recently alongside Endokara, losing to Fuminori Abe and Takuya Nomura over in Shinkiba First Ring on April 1st. So see how that goes. Debutant in Big Japan was Jacob Crane this past weekend. He teamed up losing to, and I'm so glad I wrote this down, the Sensational Grand Passion Mask number 4. I've also screwed it up because it's the Intelligent Sensational Grand Passion Mask number 4. Losing to Court Sekifood and Black Mensore in Nagoya. Then the next day, also Shinkiba First Ring. Team of Kazuma Kakuta to lose to Okami, Daishi Hashimoto, and Hideyoshi Kamitani. A few Tag Festival alumni in Big Japan, yep. Just realized.
Yep, it is, yeah.
Norman Harris made an appearance in America this past weekend. He popped up at the American Excellence Wrestling Promotion in Hamburg, Pennsylvania. I don't think it's been announced for the carrot, but you'd think if he's over in Pennsylvania last weekend, you'd expect it to be popping on some shows now, surely.
Yeah, I've not seen anything, unless he's just going to randomly turn up in a scramble, I suppose. But do we even know if he's in the country still?
I haven't seen, but I think probably should alert on Fuse that he's going to, might has a chance of seeing him. I mean, and we've seen a lot of Kennedy Hardcastle and Jaden Newman and all the shows he's been watching, so maybe a bit of a heads up there. Bit close to home, Mike DiVecchio and Aigle Blanc, we mentioned, made the Rev Pro debuts, working Revolution Rumble and then Southampton the next night. In Southampton, Oscar went to a double countout with Mike D, and Mike D's posted a out-of-nowhere photo of the Epic Encounters graphic for Rev Pro and Stevenage later this month, so I was putting two and two together there. You'd think rematch is going to be in Stevenage. Aigle looked absolutely fantastic, albeit in defeat to Robbie X. I'd expect he'd be back at some point again, just a case of finding dates that line up. Of course, the obvious one, like we recorded this in the gap between WrestleMania weekend shows, load of WXW names and adjacent names in Philadelphia, New Jersey for the indie stuff. Of course, Robert Dreisker and Ron Strowman, they're working for Action Wrestling's Dean show later tonight. And a trios match against the Good Hand. Dreisk and Roman were also working there for Game Changer, the JCW and GCW vs. World show later on tonight. I believe in 10 minutes, as we're recording anyway, they're going to be on the Monster Factory show as well. They'll be on YouTube. So this will be of no use for anyone watching the or listening to us. But Mike, there's a heads up for YouTube after we're done. You'll probably see them on the Monster Factory show.
Lovely.
Also, a couple of stuff, obviously, we've seen Daniel McCarvey, Timothy Thatcher, I'll be on Dean late tonight, I'll be watching on Friday morning. Team was also working Bloodsport, that's early on Thursday night, which also has Fuminori Abe and Takuya Nomura. That's a bit of a show stealer, I think, for a lot of people after last year's match with the We Are the Fighting Detective show. That's one I can pronounce, not the, the other Japanese name. Aigle Blanc's work. Yep, that's one. Yeah. Aigle Blanc's working on that same Monster Factory show alongside Thiago Montero and Kuro, for those who watched the Fight for Power shows. And then he's got Jordan Olive on that Game Changer show versus the World. So yeah, a few familiar names. I'm pretty sure every chance you can have the likes of Norman popping up.
There was one more, obviously. You've not written it down, but Leighton Buzzard, he was in the... We do occasionally mention him, I think, when he was out in Japan, but Leighton Buzzard had a quite serious injury on Sunday.
Yes.
We was directly above him on the balcony at the York Hall. But I don't know if you heard him, where he basically said, he was like, it's gone. And then unfortunately we did find out that his knee's
buggered
for at least a year, isn't it? So poor bugger.
Yeah, so like, even again, you know, watching on VOD, it's always for simple stuff. Like, you'll see people doing like, you know, twisty, flippy shit through glass and barbed wire and come out, okay, bleeding, but never, you know, really anything gruesome. This was for bog standard or slip out for suplex. And you could see when he landed, his knee went sideways. And he then stood up and it just completely went. But some fellas next to me were playing, say, amateur commentating. They were saying, oh, the leg's broken. And then, of course, you know, Oka finished the match and then grabbed the injured leg to pull on for the pin. So I don't know about being gone by then anyway. But yeah, the fact that he was hobbling out, what, an hour later? I can't do the Rumble. Here, Conor Mills have my spot. Like, that's insane. And he was posting yesterday, he's back in the gym. You know, obviously not working the legs, but if he's got that kind of work ethic and he's, you know, keeping the spirits high, I would not be surprised if he's back soon from that. But obviously, you know, best wishes for full and speedy recovery, because yeah, you absolutely don't like to see people getting hurt, you know, seriously or otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. So I just thought that was worth adding on, because obviously we do sometimes talk about him in the
a couple of news bits on the end. So obviously we talked about the European Europa Meisterschaft. Femme Fatale's been added for the World Tag Team Festival weekender. That's going on Sunday at noon. Previously had the Progress X No X Defy show on Saturday, with time to be confirmed. Carrot, yeah, I think WXW announced was about a week or two back. Pimpin' down for balcony, standing tickets, and Rose form back. And bear in mind, we're like 11 months away from Carrot. That's, if ticket sales are slowing down, but that first month sales, you know, got to be up there for quickest for tickets have gone. I mean, heck, if you're planning on going in a circle, sound like the last 30 tickets. So unless you want to try
looking at the second-hand market. As we speak, I'm literally buying my ticket as we speak.
I know a load of people, was it, you know, the December podcast was saying, all stand the last X, and then, you know, people scrambling like mad on the secondary market. I think it's one of these, if it's going to be sold out by somewhere, I would expect. So if you're planning on going and you know you're just getting other tickets later, get you in a circle, because that's going to be a lot more easy to get rid of if you can't make it. But yeah, so Tag Festival, still plenty of availability, but you know, they've barely announced anything for that. So, you know, keep tabs and all that. But next up on the docket, we've got True Colors from the Stromberg in Dresden on April 27th. Main event seems to be Cash and Hector defending the tag titles against Robert Dreisker and Lawrence Roman. What's got a Who against Paige Tahani. Aaliyah Bloom challenging for Levaniel Shotgun title. Oscar and Anita Vaughn against Bobby Guns and Stephanie Mays. Baby Allison against Jane Nero. Axel Tisch and Fast Time Moodle against Mike D and Nick Schreier. Now, bear in mind, Mike and Nick have got a tag title shot in the books. Is this going to be KXS's first loss, or is this going to be a derailer for Mike, another friendly fire moment?
Well, I suppose, or could Schreier join his Ostdeutschland friend? You know?
Oh god! Oh god! Yeah, because I was looking through the results. So
I don't think so. For clarity, but
I mean, they did have in Erfurt, was a non-televised event the day after Frankfurt. Just, you know, they didn't have much of a car, but something jumped out. Sportfreund Ost, Jane Neal and Emil Werler, who we may have heard under another name on the German and English commentary over Coward Weekend. So clearly, maybe spitballing that, so you may not be too far off, whether it's a wider group, but then again, you've got High Perform Limited, you've got Amboss. Do you really need a third, group of baddies, I guess? Unless you want to try, extra metro and try like a Heart Foundation where they're booting West and cheating the East.
Yeah, you could also have I suppose you've got the big bucks as well, who another lots going on.
Nobody should love, everybody should hate.
Yeah.
Next night, April 28th, with the Hellraiser in Leipzig. This is Wheel of Wrestling 60. This is being taped. Announced we've got Axel Tischer against Ahura, Mike D against Hector. Peter Dehaene against Leah Bloom, Jane Neal against Stephanie Mays, Oscar and Anita against Angela Malik and Baby Allison, and the battle without Honor Her Humanity, Bobby Gunn's Fast Time Moodle. As I said earlier, it's basically was it Raw Underground or Ambition Without Ropes, if you want to call it that. Was it Evolve? I swear had a match like that as well, where they just took ropes down. It was one
very they had the at 16 carat 2017, you had Alpha Kevin versus Marius von Beethoven. Oh,
God, yes. There's one I need to go back and rewatch. If only just for the posterity effect of it. But so those are the next two televised shows. After that, we've got May 3rd in Mendig. This, they flat out said it's not being taped. We've got Robert Dreisker and Lawrence Roman against Paige Dehaene and Nick Schreier. Anita Vaughan against Jane Nero. May 4th at the Alte Kesselschmiede in Papenburg. I suspect that's going to be taped. May 17th, the Market Hall in Hamburg. June 1st, the Turbine Hall in Oberhaus and the Drive of Champions. July 20th, at Match Cup for the Wrestling European Championships. And August 10th, in Turbine Hall in Oberhausen, presumably for a shortcut to the top. But yeah, plenty to come. But Mike, that's bang on 8 o'clock for us. I guess time to be going back to our WrestleMania stuff. But anything to quickly plug before we disappear for a few weeks?
No, but you can follow me everywhere on so Twitter, Instagram, everything like that. It's at Mike Kilby on everything.
Again, you can follow the website at Big Backbody Drop on Twitter, at Backbody Drop on Instagram. I'm at Ian Wrestling on most platforms. Again, if you don't like, subscribe on YouTube, subscribe, leave a review, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to the podcast. It all helps, and feeds whatever algorithms are listening to us. And thanks for listening, everyone. Enjoy WrestleMania weekend, and we will see you probably next month. Cheers.
Cheers.